You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Time, and this is the Blitz. I'm your host, Matt Hicks, the FF Educator, back on the mic for the first time in about a month. Gentlemen, it feels so good to be here again with John Lobb, the Gridiron Scholar, and Skip Newton. Fellas, I missed a month. I saw as much college football as I can. I'm so excited to be back in the saddle, but I can't wait to get caught up on all the goodness that I missed out on. How you doing here?
I'm doing great. For all our viewers on YouTube, you'll notice I have a Georgia t-shirt. I lost a bet in the Kings Classic to Chasing the Natty. And I said if I lost the bet, I would buy a Georgia t-shirt and wear it. So that's why I got my bright red Georgia t-shirt. It literally came in the mail today, or technically UPS. I forgot which one it technically came in. But I got that on today. But I'm loving this football season. And the one thing I always say is a lob pays his bet. So I paid the bet. I said I'd wear a Georgia t-shirt. I have it on.
You look good in the Bulldog red, John. Skip is less excited about his college teams. He's just going with the black t-shirt instead.
Yeah, I'm just going plain Jane tonight. But it's good to have you back, Matt. You were missed. Another congratulations on the wedding. That's awesome news. And excited to be back on the mic with you, man.
Yeah. Congratulations for being married, my man.
Thank you. It feels good. It feels good. Hopefully it leads to some more college football expertise. I don't know if that's how it works, but we'll see. All right, gentlemen, we have news and notes, marvelous matchups, our CFF sleepers, best bets, and a lot of goodness here on today's episode. So let's go ahead. Let's jump right into the news and notes. Big matchup this week between TCU and Oklahoma, and it has the storylines ringing here. Let's start with a few injuries here for TCU. Wide receiver Quentin Johnson's knee is considered to be questionable. Heading into the matchup, Zach Evans is also questionable with an undisclosed injury there. And I believe TCU's other running back, his name is escaping my mind right now, is also questionable going into this week. So it looks like the Horned Frogs have a lot of question marks heading into it. Question marks on the Oklahoma side as well. Head coach Lincoln Riley has opted to cancel all media availability, gentlemen, after the student newspaper had two reporters climb to the top of a public building and watch practice with binoculars and report that Spencer Rattler was getting second team reps. So that is just an absolutely ridiculous story. I guess you have to admire the effort that the student reporters went to get that information, but now nobody has media availability. So a lot of really interesting things going on there in Norman. Outside of the state of Oklahoma, Colorado State senior a running back, David Bailey, is expected to have, quote, some involvement against New Mexico this weekend. So certainly an interesting CFF play who has been out since week four. It'll be interesting to see just how much work David Bailey gets. Dontavion Wicks, the sophomore wide receiver for Virginia, with an undisclosed injury. His status remains unknown. It sounds like we're probably going to be without him this weekend. John's Georgia Bulldogs will once again have wide receiver Jermaine Burton, who missed the Auburn game. He is set to be back in action against Kentucky this week. They will not have, quarterback JT Daniels. He's reportedly on a pitch count in practice, so that doesn't sound fantastic, but not I guess, to be determined for sure, no official word there. Minnesota has lost their second running back of the season, Trayson Potts. Really unfortunate there for the Gophers because Potts is also going to be ruled out for the season after suffering an undisclosed injury. Nevada senior wide receiver Romeo Dubs is expected to play again, be back in the lineup for the Wolfpack against Hawaii. Gentlemen, significant reactions here or omissions?
I was really excited for TCU. Now I'm very concerned. Also, Max Duggan, we're not exactly sure about the quarterback. He's still questionable. So that's very shaky. And look it, Coach Riley, we all know you're playing Caleb Williams. You can try to pretend you're not. Everyone in the country knows you're playing Caleb Williams. Two young reporters on your campus got the scoop. That's what journalism's about. No, you're surprising no one by not talking to the media. Your opponent, they know you are playing Caleb Williams. Everyone in the country knows you are playing Caleb Williams. Do not do this. It's childish. It's childish. The media helps you with a paycheck. The fans watch your games because of the media. Please, you have two young students who are trying to break into journalism, and you're then taking out the entire national media. Please, we all know it. It's not a big deal. I'll see Caleb Williams on Saturday, and I'll be scouting him, Coach Riley.
Fantastic. Let's go ahead and jump. Sorry, it looked like Skip was going to jump in there. Let's go ahead and let's jump into our marvelous matchups for week 7. Gentlemen, where else could we start for our marvelous matchups of the week, which again are our highest over under spreads we try to keep them within about a 15 point range. So not total blowouts. There's nowhere else to start here than Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin returning to Knoxville, an over under of 82 with Ole Miss laying 2.5 here. I mean, you know what's wild? I kind of want to take the over. John, take it away.
I haven't made a decision yet because 82 is a monster over. You're looking basically at 12 touchdowns. I still have not decided. I didn't add it in the best bets. But when I look at the offensive numbers, Ole Miss, number 2 in the country, 561 yards a game, 46.2 points per game. Tennessee, I'm shocked that the Volunteers have embraced Josh Heupel's offense, and he has turned this team around. They are 17th in the nation in total offense. The Volunteers are averaging 474 yards a game. I mean, last year we thought the Volunteers could barely put up 2 touchdowns. I mean, I cannot believe Heupel has turned this offense around like that. It is one of the best stories of the year. They are scoring 41.5 points a game. The only mistake he made, why was he playing Joe Milton early in the year?
Yeah, the Hendon Hooker has been the difference.
Yes, everything else. The Volunteers are smoking hot. And there are just so many players, and you have an 82 over-under. Vegas is telling you, start your players in college fantasy football. Hendon Hooker, start him. Tyan Evans, start him. Valus Jones, wide receiver, start him.
The water boy, start him.
Start him. Everyone, if they're on your waiver wire, start him. At Mississippi, we know the quarterback. He's always a start. Dontario Drummond, Braylon Sanders, John Reese Plumlee, start him. One player, Snoop Connor. People are not paying attention. Jerron Ealy does not look like he'll play again. Snoop Connor got over 100 yards on 12 carries last week. More importantly, 3 touchdowns. I've been watching a ton of Rebels because I'm scouting Matt Corral this year. Connor gets the ball in the goal line. All season long, Connor's been their goal line package. When they get into the red zone, specifically the 10, Snoop's in the game. If there's no wheelie, Snoop is an automatic plug and play at your flex. He's the starting running back in a game with an 82 over under. I can't wait for this game.
And I just want to clarify, although Tennessee has had a fantastic evolution on offense, that has not yet translated to the defensive side of the ball. No. So I just want to clarify that our hype for both teams are the offensive units. And with that, Skip, I will pass you. I'll pass it over to you here to talk about Duke, Virginia. Virginia getting, or I should say Duke getting 11.5 points on a 69-point spread.
Yeah, this is a good matchup. A lot of offense should come out of this. Of course, Virginia being the heavy favorites, Duke may be forced to throw the ball. We'll start with them. Duke's averaging 31.5 points per game. Virginia has yielded 28.5, so Duke should be able to put some points on the board. Starting with quarterback Gunnar Holmberg, I'm going to give him a B grade. He's passed for over 1,600 yards, just 6 touchdowns to 4 interceptions, even though a nice 72% completion percentage. However, he's rushed for 188 yards and 6 more scores, so that's why he gets that high grade. He's doing the job with his legs even better than his arm. Sticking with the passing game, a couple of guys worth mentioning. Jake Bobo, wide receiver, a B grade, 45 catches, 529 yards. Great numbers there. Unfortunately, just 1 touchdown, so that's what's holding him back. And Jalen Calhoun, a C grade on him, 30 catches, 428 yards, 2 scores. So the passing game's not the best, but they are getting the ball, those two especially. So maybe Jake's your Bobo. I don't know, but you can start him if you'd like. At running back, here's your A grade. Mateo Durant, 788 yards, 9 touchdowns. And even if the game script calls for them not to run the ball and for to throw it more, he's caught 13 passes for 178 yards and another score. So he's involved in the passing game, which makes Durant an easy must start in all formats. Over to Virginia, they've averaged 34 points a game. Duke's given up 28.5. So again, high scoring on both sides. John's guy, Brennan Armstrong, quarterback for Virginia, A grade, almost 2,500 yards passing already, 17 touchdowns to just 6 interceptions, 2 rushing scores as well. You got to love him. Billy Kemp, the fourth at wide receiver, gets a B grade, 43 catches for over 400 yards and 4 touchdowns. And then as Matt mentioned in the news and notes, Dontavian Wicks has an unknown injury. We don't know his status, so you got to be really careful. I'm leaning towards, you know, keeping him out because you just never know with college football. We don't get the news that we get like in the NFL. So you probably better be safe than sorry. If he doesn't play, I do think Rashawn Henry is an interesting start. He has 23 catches, but 412 yards and a score. So he could step up into that role if Wicks is out, that big play guy. So I like Rashawn Henry in a starting position if Wicks does not play. And then I also have to mention the tight end, Jelani Woods. Gets a B grade, 18 catches, 257 yards, 4 scores, and he's missed a game. So those numbers are in a fewer amount of games. So Woods, I like him in college football because tight ends are pretty scarce, so you got to put him in your lineup. Matt, we're going to you next. I believe you've got Western Kentucky and Old Dominion. What do you think about these guys in the 67.5 over under?
Listen, the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers are due, gentlemen. They're given 12.5 here. I like the over. I like Western Kentucky. They have 4 straight losses with a combined 18-point differential. They lost by 3 to Army, by 2 to Indiana. Or I'm sorry, it's 28 because they lost by 17 to Michigan State. That's not bad. That's a good Michigan State team. And they lost by 6 against my UTSA Roadrunners, baby. By the way, 6-0, I believe the Roadrunners are. Yeah. So the Hilltoppers are due, all right? And they're putting up points, 52 points last week, 31, 31 again, 35. And you look at Old Dominion here. Old Dominion's kept up. They are also 1-5. But they've kept up. They have a 34-point game against Buffalo, 21 against UTEP, a good UTEP team this year. And it was kind of a low-scoring game against Marshall there. But I think Old Dominion has just enough to hang in this game and push it over. 67.5 feels right on spot. But I just think the Hilltoppers are going to be gassed up, man. You got to think they're ready to come out and just smash one. But either way, with Bailey Zappe at the helm, that's going to be the bread and butter. You're investing in the Western Kentucky passing offense because Bailey Zappe is going to bring it, and that's going to come with a lot of benefits all around. All right, John, we're heading out west here. Texas Tech is giving 16.5 to the Jayhawks with a 66.5 over under. You don't expect to see the Jayhawks here in the marvelous matchup section.
No, I was a little surprised, but Vegas does think there's points in this game. Most of it, the reality is, it's going to be on the Texas Tech side. When Tyler Shook went down, I kind of thought that the offense would kind of crumble with him, but the Red Raiders are still rolling. They are scoring 34.8 points per game and producing 458 yards per game. But what matchup do I love most in this game? The Kansas Jayhawks are the third worst run defense in the nation. They give up 251 yards on the ground and 20 rushing touchdowns. Go get Sir Roderick Thompson, the running back for the Red Raiders. One of the interesting players on the Red Raiders, Henry Colomby. Do not love him. His numbers can be frustratingly mad. 324 yards passing, 266, 344. But he threw three touchdowns in the game against Texas, and he hasn't thrown a touchdown since. And he doesn't give you any rushing upside. 3, -16, and 5. So only if you're absolutely desperate. But on the Red Raiders side, Kalen Geiger, the wide receiver, he has really stepped up his game recently. 25 receptions on the year, 396 yards and a touchdown. If you need someone, he's widely available on waiver wires. You can go get him. Kansas, you know what? I don't think I'm really going to go on the Kansas side, but they do have, if you are trying to pay attention for Devy, you are looking at Dynasty. They have a very interesting freshman running back, Devin Neal. I don't see if you've seen him play. It's hard to get highlights of a Kansas running back. 54 carries, 264 yards, averaging 4.9 yards a carry for the Jayhawks. There are a lot of people who really like this young man as a running back. 5'11", 208 pounds. If you are in a Dynasty or Devy league, you need to look at Devin Neal. If you have a spot, pick him up. He could be very interesting next year for Kansas.
All right, gentlemen, why wait till Saturday when we have Marshall in North Texas on Friday night? Skip going out on the town on Friday because we have a battle of the greens here. 65.5 over under. What are you looking at in this matchup here, Skip?
It's a good one. I love Friday night football. We're going to start with Marshall on the road, 34.5 points per game. They're averaging North Texas, giving up over 32. So Marshall should be able to put some points on the board. I'm not super high on their quarterback, Grant Wells, just a C grade. He's thrown for 2,000 yards, which is really nice, but 8 touchdowns to 7 interceptions. That's not the ratio we're looking for. He has rushed for 2 TDs, so he needs to get those touchdown numbers up for me to feel better about him as a quarterback in college fantasy. Corey Gamage at wide receiver, also a C grade. He is by far and away the only wide receiver you're going to look for on this roster. 38 catches, 506 yards. Really nice numbers there. Unfortunately, no touchdowns. So he's kind of feeling that lack of touchdowns in that passing game for Marshall. The big one, though, Rasheen Ali, the running back, A grade, 566 yards, 11 touchdowns. And here's the part you're going to love the most. 21 catches for another 129 yards and a score. So he's getting the ball regardless of how the game script is going. You love to see that. You love to see running backs involved in the passing game. It's easy points in PPR leagues. For North Texas, they're averaging just just under 23 points a game. Marshall giving up 22.5, so not as much fantasy goodness on the North Texas side. Roderick Burns, a wide receiver, I'm going to give him a C grade. 30 catches, 363 yards, and 2 scores. Just to note, that's in 5 games, so not 6. So he's still averaging, you know, 6 catches, 70 yards, and scores, you know, twice in 5. So that's not bad. C grade there. At running back, DeAndre Torrey, a B grade on him. Nice, nice numbers. 600 yards, 4 touchdowns. He's also caught 6 passes for 67 and 1. So some decent options there, but not fantastic. But again, we're dealing with bye weeks, you know, last week and this week especially. So you might have to look at these lesser known options to get some fantasy goodness. Matt, you're going to finish us up here with that big game, TCU at Oklahoma. Are you going with Caleb Williams at quarterback?
I'll tell you what, it's a little bit of I don't want to call it a trap matchup, but it's an interesting one. All right. So you're looking at a 65.5 over-under. You're thinking TCU offense, Oklahoma offense. You know, let's get a piece of this. First and foremost, I'm taking, you know, obviously we have to watch the injury reports, but if most of these guys that we said were questionable are playing, like 13.5, I don't know who is giving that spread. You look at Oklahoma this year, they have struggled to separate. They only beat Tulane by 5. They only beat Nebraska by 7. West Virginia by 3. Kansas State by 6. Texas by 7 at the very last moment. So how are you going to justify a momentous TCU team and going with 13.5 on that? You know, barring injury, like I said, I think TCU is absolutely staying within that spread. Here's what's kind of tricky. You look at the TCU offense. It's really gone through the running game. There's talented wide receivers, certainly names you know, with Quentin Johnson and Spielman. And Barber getting involved, but it's a well spread out offense. It's not a high volume passing attack. Duggan has thrown the ball just 116 times. It's really been all about Zach Evans and then Miller on the ground. Here's the key for this. Look to see if one of these guys is a late scratch, because if you get just one of these running backs in the game, you're going to be looking at a massive volume here for those running backs. So if Evans or Miller is ruled out and the other one is ruled in, that's going to be a smash play. All right. So you're probably playing Zach Evans either way, but if Evans is ruled out, then Miller becomes a really smash play here in this matchup. You flip it to the other side and it still remains a little tricky. I think Kennedy Brooks is a clear play here from the running back position, but we mentioned it earlier. We still aren't sure for 100%. John's 100% sure that Caleb Williams is going to be in there. So we have to watch that. And here's the thing with the wide receivers. Spencer Rattler, he spread the ball really evenly around the field. 19 receptions for Mims. Woods and Williams, 22 receptions, 23 receptions. Hazelwood, 21 receptions. And there's not a lot of separation. All those guys have 2 touchdowns. So the key is, who is going to be the wide receiver that clicks with Caleb Williams? And I would say, too, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we see Caleb Williams and Spencer Rattler rotating in throughout this game. Remember, Lincoln Riley has to cover his butt a little bit here. You don't want to be the guy that runs Spencer Rattler out of town. And so it's going to look better for him if he hangs him in and he gets him enough film to get him onto the NFL in that Oklahoma uniform. It's not a tough run for Oklahoma down the stretch. You know, everybody is ready to go all in. Caleb Williams, leave Spencer Rattler behind. He's got Kansas, Texas Tech, a good Baylor team right now, and then Iowa State, Oklahoma. He's got 3 weeks to hash this thing out, folks. I wouldn't be as surprised as others if he at least gave Rattler a good chunk of snaps. So proceed with caution. I think there's a lot of landmines here in this matchup. But with that being said, let's go ahead and let's transition into our CFF sleepers of the week. Each one of us have selected a quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and flex option that we expect to outperform general expectations this week. John, as always, we're going to let you kick it off here with your 4. John, you're on mute.
Sorry about that. My mic was on mute. One of the hottest quarterbacks in college fantasy football is KJ Jefferson of Arkansas. Last week, there were 28 teams on bye. It forced me to pick up KJ Jefferson on two teams. Now, I did not expect him to produce six total touchdowns. That was awesome. But that game against Mississippi, I know probably most of the nation was watching Texas-Oklahoma. I had the two games on side by side. KJ Jefferson put on a show. He is only on 38% of Fantrax rosters right now. He was picked up in 13% of leagues. So there is an uptick. But I absolutely love him at home against Arkansas this week. Go get KJ Jefferson. I have him starting on four teams right now. That's how confident I am in Jefferson. He is just rocking and rolling. In our marvelous matchups, I talked about Sir Roderick Thompson. I'm sorry. There is no reason that this young man is still available in 65% of leagues. He's hot, and the Jayhawks can't stop anyone against the run. Go pick him up immediately if you need a running back, specifically for your flex. I've been kind of peeking around, because if you've been listening to big-time draft people, they're starting to talk about Tanner McKee, the quarterback at Stanford. So I've actually had to watch McKee the last two games. Now, I haven't formulated a total opinion on him because obviously he's a late bloomer. But there are some national draft experts who like this young prospect. Well, what does that force me to do? Watch the Cardinals. What has happened while I'm watching the film and the games? This player, Elijah Higgins, started to pop up at wide receiver. And I said, who is Elijah Higgins? I need to do a little bit of background information. And sure enough, he has your Stanford Cardinal profile. He's 6'3", 235 pounds. I mean, Stanford always gets these big, long-limbed wide receivers. Hey, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside has not played well in the NFL, but he was a second-round pick. And if you watch the Cardinal over the last 10 years, they feed their stud wide receiver. Elijah Higgins is available in 87% of college fantasy football leagues. But here's what's amazing. Search his numbers. What I mean by that, his athletic numbers, short shuttle, long jump, high jump, 40 yard. Ladies and gentlemen, as far as an athletic prospect, he's in the same class as DK Metcalf and Julio Jones. It is unbelievable. He is truly a freak athlete. It's amazing that Stanford got him. Now, he's the type of player, he's going to keep getting more press down the stretch here. You're going to start hearing about Elijah Higgins. I don't know if he'll come out. He's a junior right now. But if he ever went to the combine or he had a pro day and people see this young man's athletic ability, they're going to put him in that Julio Jones, DK Metcalf bucket. Doesn't mean he'll have that career. That's not what I'm saying. But from an athletic standpoint, Elijah Higgins is off the charts. And the numbers are getting pretty good. Go get Elijah Higgins and talk about a schedule. We love that Pac-12, those defensively challenged secondaries. Elijah Higgins is going to be good down the stretch here. And in the easiest matchup of the week is Texas A&M against that abysmal Missouri Tiger run defense. I can't give you Isaiah Spiller. So you know what I'm going to give you? Their backup, Devin Achane. He is averaging 6.6 yards a carry. He has 330 yards rushing, 17 receptions. Ladies and gentlemen, the Aggies might throw the ball less than eight times in this game. The Tigers literally cannot tackle. They cannot stop anyone. Isaiah Spiller and Achane might each go for a buck 50. Go ahead, pick up Devin Achane on your teams this week.
All right. I like it. I like it. All right. I'm starting here with quarterback Jaren Hall out of BYU. I wouldn't say this is a popular pick, gentlemen, but I got to tell you, I've seen BYU play a couple times, and I like what I've seen from Hall. In you know, the stats are solid. They're not outstanding. And I know there's some call for Romney, who's played well in the absence of Jaren Hall, but he's going to be back in it here. 863 yards, 8 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He's done well outside of the pocket, another 163 rushing yards. I think that this Baylor offense, which is also operating really well, is going to push a high-scoring game. So this is a game I'm going to be looking for the over on. I think that Baylor or BYU and Baylor is really going to push it here, and I think Jaren Hall could be a large beneficiary of that and might steer away from the running game a little bit more. So that's a little bit more of a low-key play. I think that's if you're a little bit more desperate here, but it's a tough week with buys. There's a lot of teams on buys. So if you're really struggling, only a 16% ownership right now of Jaren Hall, certainly an option. Tyon Evans is the absolute move. Tennessee has shown that he is going to be the running back when he's healthy, and he is healthy. 6 touchdowns here on the season, 486 yards. If you want to talk about defensive lacking here, it's the Ole Miss running game. Tennessee is going to run the ball, all right, and they're going to run it a lot. We talked about that earlier. I don't want to overexpand on that, but it is clear that Tyon Evans is going to be the running back to lead the way for the Vols, and so we are all in this week on Tyon Evans. We're digging a little bit deeper here. This is a deep sleeper in DeCorian Clark out of UTSA. The Roadrunners, my Roadrunners. I know Skip is going to give you another option from UTSA, but I specifically went with Clark because if you look at it, despite having 24 receptions, which is third on the team, he is leading the team in touchdowns with 5, averaging 16.5 yards per reception. And so I'm going to go a little bit deeper here. They're playing Rice. I think they're going to throw the ball a lot. I think they're going to run up the score early on Rice, and then the passing game might fall off a little bit. But I'm going to look in this porous secondary. I'm going to look for some big plays downfield from Harris, and I'm hoping Clark is the one to connect for 1 or possibly 2 touchdowns. And then I'm going to head on over back to the BYU-Baylor game, and I'm going to go to the Baylor running game here. Abram Smith, 47% roster ship right now, 597 yards on just 78 attempts. That's 7.5 yards per attempt. Here's what I love, though, 7 rushing touchdowns. And again, like I mentioned, I think this is going to be a higher scoring game than expected. So I'm looking at Abram Smith there to find the end zone once or twice and to put up some nice fantasy football points. With that being said, I'm going to pass things on over here to Skip to give us his quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and flex sleeper of the week.
Thanks, Matt. I've got Peyton Thorne at quarterback for Michigan State. Michigan State's having an outstanding season, and Thorne is still available. You can see 72% of the leagues, he is not on a roster. He's got almost 1,600 yards, 14 touchdowns, 2 more rushing touchdowns. So you're getting a good quarterback on a good team and a good matchup at Indiana. The Hoosiers are not good at football. At running back, I already talked about Billy Kemp IV. Billy Kemp IV, I messed this up. He's wide receiver. My bad. Billy Kemp IV, I talked about in the matchup, Virginia and Duke. 43 receptions, 426 yards, 4 touchdowns. I don't need to talk any more about him. Gave him a B grade. Love the matchup there. Josh Cephas, UTSA versus Rice. He's available in 75% of the leagues. Another guy with 42 catches, 457 and 3. Your team, UTSA, Matt, I picked this guy first before you could get to him. Glad I sniped you on that one. And then my final guy, Demario Douglas, Liberty at Louisiana Monroe. He's available in 70% of leagues. He has 531 yards and 4 touchdowns on 33 catches. So I'm not sure why people keep not picking up Demario Douglas. I swear we mentioned him a few weeks ago. We're mentioning him again. He's a good player. So, you know, the Liberty offense is doing well, and I think people should add him. He's a great pickup.
All right, here we go. We're going to jump into our All-American bets here, best bets of the week segment. We're each going to give a point spread money line over under. And John, before we jump into it, I should point out John is 16-5 on the show for the season. I am 11-7, and Skip is 9-8-1. So although John is doing the best, gentlemen, I'd say we're all representing pretty well with our picks here on the show. So with that being said, John, I'll let you start with your point spread.
I had to unmute again. Sorry about that, everyone. I gotta get better with the button down there. My fault. I had a bad week. I went 1-2, so I'm looking to bounce back. Been studying for the last 2 days. The first game that I like, I love Nebraska. I'm sorry, Skip. I know they're playing your boys Minnesota, but I thought Nebraska's played better football. They need to learn how to win a close game. But we mentioned it earlier. Minnesota's down to their third running back. I have not been impressed with their passing game at all this year. Adrian Martinez, I can't believe I'm saying this. He's one of the top three quarterbacks in college fantasy football this year, depending on your scoring system. He's having a great year. I just watched him again. Third game I've watched this year because he played Michigan Saturday night. So I watched him throughout that game. He's been playing very good football. He's definitely turned a corner. They just haven't won. My over-under this week, watch Kenny Pickett. He's quickly moving up depth charts of prospect rankings. And a lot of players are falling. So Pickett's taking advantage of what's happening above him on the rankings. Pitt's going to Virginia Tech. But I was surprised. Now, it's only a 57.5 over-under. I believe Pitt's averaging over 40 points a game. I do believe they can score in Blacksburg against the Hokies. I'm taking the over Pitt at Virginia Tech. And I'm hook, line, and sinker. I'm all in on Heupel in this offense. I know their defense is challenged. I get it. And they're going to score points. But I'm taking Tennessee plus 120 to upset Mississippi at home this weekend.
All right, here, my point spread. Syracuse is getting 13.5 at Clemson. And, gentlemen, this is a preseason line. Look at the last 3 weeks against ACC play. Clemson beats Georgia Tech by 6, loses to NC State by 6, beats Boston College by, you guessed it, 6. So where is this 13-point lead coming from? They have to travel to the Carrier Dome on a Friday night. It's weird timing. Clemson hasn't showed us that this season they deserve to be 13.5-point favorites against anybody. And this is, you know, not the best team, but it's a decent Syracuse team. You know, I think there are 3 wins. That's good for Syracuse. I think that Clemson wins, but I don't think they win by 13.5. So I'm going to take that point spread there. Now, do I think Kentucky is going to beat Georgia? No, not necessarily. But at plus 1,700, why not put down a couple bucks? All right. It's a The trio with Wandale Robinson, Christopher Rodriguez, and Will Levis. There could be something there, gentlemen. There could be a little bit of magic playing in that 3:30 slot on CBS. Plus 1,700, why not? And then over under here, I've alluded to this multiple times, but I see BYU Baylor going over 48. That seems very doable for me. Now, I understand why it's at 48 because both of these offenses have been more run-focused, but I could just see it, you know, with the way the two teams match up against each other, I think they're going to have to push it a little bit harder. So those are my 3 picks. And Skip, bring us on home.
All right. I believe last week I finally ended the streak. I was 0-5 against the point spread, but I finally pulled one out as Iowa came back for the win. So ended that nonsense right there. I'm going to stick in the Big Ten, and I talked about Michigan State earlier with their quarterback, Peyton Thorne. I'm taking a minus 4.5 at Indiana. That seems like a really easy cover for me, which of course means that they won't, but
no, that's
whatever. You know, you got to be on the wrong side of the log sometimes. I love Michigan State minus 4.5 in that game. Over under Florida LSU, it's at 58.5. I think both these teams are going to put up points. I think this game can go over 60 quite easily. So I like the over in that one. Plus, I think it's just more fun to root for an over when you're betting. And on the money line, I know it's almost a pick 'em, but UCLA, a slight underdog, plus 105. UCLA is, I don't remember their matchup just off the top of my head, but
Washington.
Thank you very much. Yep, Washington. So I like that play there for UCLA. They're a good team, and I think they're the better team in this matchup, and I think they're going to win that game outright. So take UCLA. You get a little bit money, not 1,700 like Kentucky, but close, 105, plus 105, go for UCLA.
All right, and as always, we're going to finish it out here with our DFS slates. Normally, John gives a slate and I give a slate. Because I've been out of the saddle for about 4 weeks on the slates, I don't have my total feel for it. And so this week I'm leaving it up to John, and I'll be back after playing all my lineups this weekend. I'll be back ready for next week.
All right. I've got a fantastic four for the main slate. There's 12 games. I wanted to find value because Bijan Robinson, Sam Howell, and Kenny Pickett are on this slate. So I'm going to leave that up to the viewer, which one of those high-priced players they want to roster in their DFS lineup. So I found value. I kind of agree with Matt. I think this BYU-Baylor game has a little sneaky shootout appeal. And Jerry Bohannon these are his last two games on DraftKings, 39 and 33 points. He's only 6,300. Sam Howell's 9,200. So he's basically 2,900 less, and he scored over 30 in back-to-back games. So I like Bohannon here at home against BYU. And there's something wrong with the algorithm. Ladies and gentlemen, I do not understand how Kenneth Walker, who is, in my opinion, the Heisman favorite right here, going against Indiana, who looks like they're just a disaster, the Hoosiers, right now. I was expecting him to be 7,900. Bijan's 89. Tyler Batty is 8,000 against the Aggies. Tyler Algier is 7,700. I mean, Kenneth Walker is 6,700. He might be in 80% of cash games.
Yeah, you
got
to play him in cash.
It just doesn't matter. You have to play Kenneth Walker in this lineup. He's just, there's something wrong with the pricing, and I'm playing him, no question. Then I want a piece of this Arkansas game. I'm taking Treylon Burks. He's underpriced because he was not playing well early in the year. His last four games, 25, 33. Then he played Georgia. I forgive him. He played the Bulldogs. He only scored 4 points. Last week, he came back with another 29. Love Treylon Burks in this game. And then we need one value play. I already mentioned it. I like this game to go over 57.5. Lucas Kroll is the starting tight end. These are his last four games, 12.5, 4, 18.5, 12.3. He's less than $4,000. Ladies and gentlemen, these four fantastic four will allow you to buy up at those other positions. Desmond Ritter's on the slate against UCF at home. So there's a lot of value. There's a lot of high-priced players. I'm giving you options with low value. Build your lineup around these four.
All right, there you have it. Our DFS bets, best bets, CFF sleepers, marvelous matchups, and all the news and notes you need heading into week 7 of the college fantasy football season. It is good to be back on the mic, back in the saddle. Good luck on your week 7 games. And as always, we appreciate you listening.